bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
One of the things I love most about this time of year when it's cold outside, now today was 1 degree, so I'm not exactly happy about that, but I normally like the winter. I love the snow. I love to snowshoe, and I especially love to get in the kitchen and make some fabulous soups. Now, I also love my smoothies too. I'll drink those year round. So I am very excited to have the wonderful Lisa DeFazio, MSRD. We're going to talk about her wonderful book, The Women's Health Big Book of Smoothies and Soups. Lisa DeFazio joins us now. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, let's talk about soup because I am such a fan of soup. And, you know, I have to start with a funny little story. Mm-hmm. There's a little town market that opened up about 2 years ago in my neighborhood. And just before it opened, I told my husband, okay, this is the year that I'm going to make soups. Okay, you're going to come home to wonderful smelling soups. Wonderful. I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, right?
Exactly. So I go up the street. Too, yeah.
Now we've got the smoothies down pretty good, but I said, okay, I'm going to make the soup. So I go up the street and I taste the soup and I honestly I don't even want to tell you all who are listening how much money I must have spent on soup. So I'm like, oh my God, thank God Lisa's coming on because I don't know what it is with soups, but I get intimidated. So first of all, tell us a bit about yourself, how long you've been in the health field, and then we'll jump in and talk about soups and smoothie hacks.
Okay. Well, I'm a registered dietitian and a nutritionist, and I've been practicing for, I can't believe it, almost 20 years now. I don't feel it's been that long, but apparently it has. And, you know, I've done everything from work for doctor's offices, private practice, do a little media and television. And, you know, I pretty much turned my passion into my profession. So I really love what I do.
Oh, that is so fantastic. All right. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about soups, because sometimes I don't know why they seem intimidating. I mean, you can get pre-cut vegetables, you can get great beans that are canned. I mean, there are ways to go. So before we jump into the different types of soup, let's talk about some of the soup hacks, because I know there's a lot of foodies listening, and it's really great to give some advice to make things simpler, because we're all running around like maniacs. So let's make this soup making thing more fun and easy.
Right. No, and it can be intimidating. I mean, you know, even for myself. And so it's something that with soups, you can kind of tweak things a little bit. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. Like you were saying, getting a lot of the pre-cut vegetables, it's a great way to use extra vegetables. You know, sometimes we want to get healthy and we're buying even fruits and vegetables, you know, let's say for smoothies, and they go rotten before we even get a chance to eat them. So it's a really great way to utilize all of that and get vegetables in your diet. It's a really tasty way. And in my book as well, there's talks about different ways to make it flavorful. So it doesn't really seem like you're just eating, you know, vegetables. Browning.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
Oh, because I have to say, like, I'm not a big fan of bouillon cubes because usually they have stuff in them that I don't want, and maybe I just haven't found the right ones. But I find that sometimes a soup can be kind of bland, and I'm not really sure. So you were about to mention browning meat, which I love because that definitely gives a flavor.
Browning the meats, sweating your vegetables, as they say, you know, kind of sauteing them so they get kind of caramelized, especially onions and celery and carrots. And browning the meats, if you're going to put some chicken or beef in there, sort of browning it ahead of time before you put it in will seal in the juices and also can cut back on the fat. And I also love soups because they're a great thing to have in the freezer for a quick meal, whether it's taking to work for lunch. A lot of people who kind of make soups, a lot of my clients and people that kind of enjoy the book, they're making them on a Sunday afternoon when you're sort of home, maybe just piddling around. And they're an excellent thing to have as a meal or with a meal. So it really saves time on meal prep, even though you might be spending extra time one day a week.
Now, what about the crock pot? Is that something that you utilize? Because I have one and I make bone broth in it, which is great. And
need
to take it a step further.
Yes. Yes. I mean, definitely crock pots. Those as well. I mean, you know, they've been around for such a long time, and they come back, they come in and come out. And I don't personally really use the crock pot, but if you have been using it, the bone broth is amazing because that'll be a great foundation for many different types of soups. And like you said, getting a really lower sodium or healthier version of a broth, the bone broth is so popular, especially now with all the nutritional benefits.
Yeah, speaking of nutrition, I'm a huge fan of coconut milk, and I love when I can get a nice curry-ish type of soup. What kind of spices do you like to put in with the coconut milk when you use it in soup?
You know, spices are something that can also be intimidating, but I think doing research on what will complement what, there's so much information out there. Turmeric is something that health-wise, surprisingly, has so many benefits. And the flavors, and it can help with anti-inflammatory properties, arthritis, anti-cancer, even depression. So spices are a really neat thing to add to your diet and also some of these soups. Cinnamon, you know, to kind of give it sort of an Indian flair and sort of a little bit of an authentic taste. Cinnamon is also great for controlling blood sugars and gives it a unique flavor without all the sodium. So definitely do a little research first. There's so many charts out there as well to show you what complements what. But spices are great.
Yeah, I love spices. And it's funny because I was thinking about your spicy sweet potato soup because I made it and it was delicious. And what I liked about it is with the turmeric and cardamom, it wasn't super sweet. You know, sometimes you'll get a soup. Like, for example, we were out in Boston. I won't say where.
Okay.
In a restaurant. And I got this soup. Okay. And it was like this kind of squash soup. And you know, with squash soup, you can go from it tastes like soup to it tastes like dessert.
Yeah.
This honestly was like, I felt like I was eating a bowl of sugar and I couldn't even eat it. And I'm not super picky, but it was, I mean, my 12-year-old daughter tasted it and it was too sweet for her. So that really says something. So it's hard when you work with squash or sweet potatoes or things like that, where you don't go overboard and get it too sweet. How is that, how those turmerics and things like that, that type of spice can help to balance it out?
Yes. So it'll give it, you know, more of the savory flavors, and realizing that your sweet potatoes will have the natural sweetness. Don't go overboard with adding maybe things that are going to make it sweeter, whether it's honey or a little extra sugar and what have you. Now, there will be, those will tend to be a little bit more on the, you know, sweeter side. It's not going to be like a spinach soup. But you're right. I mean, sometimes then it's off-putting if you're just not, you think it's like dessert when you want it to be a little more savory. So
the rest of the meal was great. So
good.
I was really looking forward to that soup. What are some other soups that you like to make, especially let's say for a, you know, a busy parent and they want to make a soup quick? What are some of your favorites?
You know, I personally have to kind of avoid dairy. But I love...
Yeah, me too.
The people who have to avoid dairy were obsessed with dairy. I mean, I love cheese. I love cream.
Exactly.
I feel so deprived. And so what I love is substituting in, well, like you said, some coconut milk or cashews. What you can do is you can soak cashews for a few hours and blend them with a little bit of broth, and it makes sort of a cream base. So I love some of the creamier mock cream soups, whether it's a creamy cauliflower or broccoli, and using the cashews, coconut milk, and throwing things in there that can sort of thicken it as well. And even being a dietitian, you know, I don't eat perfectly, I admit, and it is a great way to sneak in, you know, kale and greens and a lot of the vegetables into your diet without feeling like you have to eat a bowl of lettuce every single day.
Exactly. You know, I'm a big bean fan, and I know that white beans can add a nice creaminess as well.
Yes.
And you have a motivating meatless bean soup. And what's so nice about that is you've got yellow onions, garlic, you got broth that's already made. You know, you can get the low-sodium vegetable broth, bay leaves, and some spices, and then you use beans. It's that easy.
Exactly. I'm glad you reminded me of that. The white beans as well can be sort of a creamy base. And, you know, don't be afraid of canned beans. I mean, personally, I don't sit and boil beans for 2 hours. You know, the canned beans, you can drain them, rinse them. It's fine. It's still healthy for you. You get good protein, good fiber. It's a great meatless meal. And again, blending it with a little bit of broth, you get a nice, satisfying, creamy texture. And yes, the bean soups are also great because it can be a meal and you feel full and satisfied.
You know, I want to bring up one more soup before we move to smoothies. I absolutely love talking about beauty from the inside out. Mm-hmm. I think it is so important, right? Yes. What you eat, it makes a difference in how you look, and you get this nice glow when you eat a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables and whole foods. And
definitely,
you have a clear complexion carrot soup. So tell us a little bit about that. And that has curry, which is great for you as well.
Exactly. Definitely, there's only so much you can lather on creams and scrubs and all of that, but if your diet's poor, if you're dehydrated, if you smoke, if you drink, if you're exhausted, you're still going to look aged. And so there's a really great chapter on skin health and also anti-aging that covers, again, foods that will help your skin. And so vitamin C and vitamin A are so important for the skin, and so the carrots and ingredients that are in that soup and other soups are so beneficial to help collagen and kind of give your skin that natural glow from the inside out. So yeah, the vitamin A, vitamin C, ingesting that obviously is going to then show on your skin, and it's that collagen production to keep us looking young and our skin plump. So
Before we jump into the smoothies,
it
really is, isn't it? We'd like to take a moment to pause and thank our sponsor, Curamin. Give us 30 seconds and we'll be back.
Got pain? Pain can wreck your life. Think of all the things you can do with less pain: garden, play sports, hike, travel, and really enjoy your life. Curamin relieves pain due to overuse. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed. What are people saying about Curamin? The relief I felt was unreal. Curamin is absolutely amazing. Ask for the Terry Naturally brand Curamin at your favorite health food store today. That's Curamin, C-U-R-A-M-I-N. Curamin will change your life. Stop pain now. Does not interfere with stomach, liver, or kidney function. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA, and this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Stop pain now with Curamin.
Well, let's move on to smoothies. I am a huge smoothie fan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I just make the same thing over and over. I'll just take frozen organic blueberries, strawberries, mango, throw in a handful of lettuce, and I'm done. And lately, I've been trying to get a little more creative because there are so many great things that you can make. And there are so many ingredients that are great for your skin and for your body overall. When did you first get into smoothies?
Smoothies for me are a really good meal replacement. I'm not a big breakfast person. And again, as a dietitian, I know it's so important to have breakfast. But the thought of just at 7 or 8 in the morning having food besides my coffee, I'm just not in the mood for it. And I don't advocate that people force themselves to eat. You know, I know sometimes they say, well, you have to eat breakfast. And if you're not in the mood for it, it's you know, I don't want to make it negative experience. So smoothies for me work really well in the morning. Sometimes I'll even have, if I didn't have it in the morning, I'll have something as a quick lunch if I'm kind of running around, running errands. And so I always just make sure I have a source of protein in them. I love a banana peanut butter smoothie with protein and almond milk, something like that.
Oh, that sounds so good. Yeah, my husband comes home every day from work to exercise. We're lucky. He's only five minutes from work.
Impressive.
Yeah, and he's crazy. If it's above like 18 degrees, he'll still ride his bike. I'm like, you are such a nut. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But he's super health conscious. So he makes a smoothie every day at lunch. Although today I was out running errands. I came home. I'm like, what is going on in this house? Why does it smell? He had taken sardines and kimchi and mixed it together. And he said, you know what, Miss Healthy?
What?
This is just in. That's it.
No, I think I'm going to say in a smoothie. I'm like,
that's not in the
book.
Oh my gosh. No, and then he had the smoothie afterwards, but I'm thinking, I want people to be healthy. But I mean, I said, could you make it outside next time?
Wow. He's hardcore.
He is hardcore. You know, another thing that I love is cacao. I'm such a big fan of cacao, and you have some fun information in the book about that. Talk to us, and what do you like to make with your cacao smoothies?
Well, cacao is the part of the cocoa bean before it's processed into turning into what we know as hot chocolate powder, you know, packets. So it's a little more bitter, and but still will give that chocolate flavor, but it's really still good for you. A lot of good antioxidants, and who doesn't love chocolate? Of course,
exactly.
There's a section on PMS, And if you're a woman, you know that you want some chocolate when it's that time of the month for whatever reason. And so cacao powder, you can get it at whether it's health food stores, even major markets in certain sections are going to carry it. And I love throwing it into like a morning coffee smoothie. It'll have some caffeine, so it does give you a little bit of a boost to your brain and it helps with alertness. So cacao is a really neat thing to incorporate in your diet to get your sugar cravings fulfilled without the guilt and the fat. So I love
that. That is nice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I am one of those people, I cannot stand bananas. I don't like the smell of bananas.
Oh, really?
But I notice that a lot of, it's problematic because a lot of smoothies have bananas. So what would you recommend to still add that creamy thickness?
Okay. So, and some people actually are allergic to bananas. The thing about bananas in smoothies, the great thing about them is that they just add that creaminess. So you think you have like half and half in there and it gives it the thickness. So that's why so many smoothies have them and frozen bananas as well. So if you just can't stand the bananas, avocado is a great substitute. Of course, avocado has a lot of great health benefits similar to bananas. It'll have the potassium, vitamin E, vitamin K, good for your skin. Really tasty, healthy fat, and you can add coconut, avocado, and, coconuts as well down the line, avocado to your smoothie to give it that thickness if you don't like the banana. So that's a good.
Now, I'm looking at your avocado mint smoothie, and you have one avocado and one large frozen banana. Could people just add more avocado to that, or can they just leave the banana out and it'll be a little thinner so it's not too avocado-y?
Exactly. You can use a little more avocado. You can decrease a bit of the liquid and add a little more frozen fruit. Frozen fruit, no matter what fruit it is, if there's berries or whatever else is in there, you can add extra frozen fruit. Now, the frozen fruit is going to make it thicker and more frothy. So I always recommend at least one or two of the fruits that you're using should be frozen in a smoothie.
Oh, really? Okay.
Impossible.
Now, what about going back to soups for a minute, do you ever use frozen vegetables? Because I just realized I use frozen vegetables a lot just if I'm in a pinch, but they say that sometimes they're even healthier than fresh because they flash freeze them, but I haven't put them in a soup. I'll just like saute them in avocado oil with garlic or something.
Right. That, I'm really big on the frozen stuff. I think, fruits and vegetables are just so delicate in your refrigerator that, you just have to have them almost immediately. And when we like to shop, you like to stock up. So frozen is fine, but, obviously it's going to have more water content because it's been frozen. So you may have to, if you're going to saute and brown them first, maybe before blending, you're going to have extra water in there to drain. So just be conscious of that because then it's going to be a really, watery soup if you're trying to make it a kind of a creamier, thicker one. So, but yes, they're blanched, they're frozen. It's still going to hold on to a lot of the nutrition. So I don't feel that you need to get, hooked on only doing fresh everything.
All right. I like that. Now, we only have a few minutes left. I want to mention the garlic leek cold reducer. Number one, garlic and leeks are my absolute favorite. What I did recently, because I had a cold in November, and what I did was I took scallions, ginger, and garlic, and I boiled it in chicken broth, and a friend of mine said, now make sure to strain it. I'm like, no, I like it hardcore. I drank all the garlic, all the ginger, all the scallions. It was good.
That
and let me tell
good.
You, I got over that cold real fast. So this looks really good too. And here you have unsweetened cashew milk. That must add a really nice creaminess to it.
Yes. So, certainly soaking the cashews and what have you and blending them are going to be a lot thicker. So cashew milk, I use a lot of alternative milks. In the book. I mean, so many people these days are either not doing dairy or I think it's just a good alternative to incorporate some plant foods into your diet. So the cashew milk is something that people don't maybe really think of. And and also, the coconut milks and what have you. So yes, it's going to add a nice flavor and a little bit more of a creaminess. So I really love those, again, the creamier type soups.
Oh, me too. It's so nice. As a matter of fact, speaking of cashew milk, I found this great, cultured cashew milk drink.
Yes.
And I know they do that with coconut milk too. It's so nice. So dairy-free folks like us can really get that nice nice probiotics and a nice texture and the mouthfeel. And my daughter loved it. I mean, cashews are amazing.
Great. Yeah, I think it's something, too, with using some of the yogurts. There's even coconut milk and cashew milk, almond milk yogurts out there. And getting the acidophilus and all of the beneficial probiotics, which are great for irritable bowel and digestion. And we constantly hear about all the definite benefits. So for people who have to avoid dairy, that's going to be a really good alternative. Kefir milk, and I was even surprised, to be honest, as I was researching for this book, that there are so many other versions of probiotic drinks out there.
Isn't it nice? I know that's a whole another show, Lisa. You'll have to come back. In the meantime, I have loved having you on. The book is The Women's Health Big Book of Soups and Smoothies by Lisa DeFazio. Lisa, tell us all the ways we can learn about you and your fabulous book.
Thank you. Well, my website is my name, lisadefazio.com. And I have a lot of really neat tips on there, a lot of videos on YouTube. You pretty much just Google my name and stuff will come up. And the book you can get anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and I'm even doing a book signing in a few weeks. So, yeah, check it out, and feel free to email me if you have questions.
Oh, this is fantastic, Lisa. Thank you so much. I want to thank everyone for listening to Talk Healthy today. Remember, Friday is Foodie Friday. We're going to have great folks like Lisa on the program. In the meantime, be sure to subscribe on iTunes. You can listen on Radio MD and Stitcher and TalkStream Live. We're all over the place. So keep listening, get in your kitchen, make some smoothies, make some soup, and stay well.